your Bibles and go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5. This morning we'll read two verses responsively. I'll read the first and you'll read the... That says 33. I can't read. We'll read through the end of the chapter. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through verse number 33. I'll read verse 22. You'll join me on verse 23 all the way through the end of the chapter. Verse number 33. The Bible says, beginning in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we now have to be here in this place. Lord, what a blessing it is to have a church to come to, Lord, one that's not for show, but Lord, one that we come as sinners, Lord, looking to hear from the Word of God. Lord, thank you for the Word of God in our life and the impact and the influence it has. Now this morning, as we hear the Word of God preached, may we please listen with the intent of learning. Lord, we don't stop and pray for the Holy Spirit's power. Lord, we don't stop and yield to the Holy Spirit's power because it's a requirement. Lord, because it's even a ritual that we perform. But Lord, we truly, each and every one of us ought to desire for the Lord to do something special in our hearts. May we be hungry this morning. Lord, may we be yielded to you, looking for that blessing that you have prepared for us. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Day, of course, being Father's Day, again, I thank God for the men of Grace Baptist Church. We've got strong, manly, loving, sincere, hardworking men here at this church. I'm honored to pastor men like these men. But men, our God and our country need you. We need more men to be the men God intended us to be. I want to help everybody today, but I can't help you if you don't listen. I can't help you if you only hear the words I say but don't do what God says. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm going to give you God's words. Now, I'm going to say this. It may seem strong due to our nation being so sissified today. We have such a soft society that the way I'll preach today may seem harsh to some, but may I say this? This is the way preachers used to preach a long time ago. You wonder why we have soft men today. It's because we got soft preachers who got their sermonettes sitting at the kitchenette smoking their cigarette instead of walking with God. Well, I don't smoke. Don't sit at the kitchen table to get my sermons out of off a computer somewhere. Get it walking with God. I want to help each and every person, no matter how old, whether you're a man or a woman, a teenage young man, a teenage young lady, I want to help you today. Listen to me very carefully. God made man in his own image. We didn't evolve. God made us. We didn't come from lower species. God made us as men. Man was busy working in the Garden of Eden. God gave man a job and he said, look, I want you to care for the world, and I also want you to name all of the animals on the earth. Now, it wasn't just, okay, that's Bill and Bob and Joe and Spot and Striper or whatever. No, you have to understand something. Adam not only had to name them, he had to draw a picture of them, categorize them, understand the difference between the male species of it and the female species of it. Do you realize that in nature, everything doesn't look the same? Men and women don't look the same. Male and female animals don't look the same. So there was a lot of work involved with that. And by the way, man, we ought to thank God he gave us a woman. Amen. Whew. Ain't no way I'd want to be married to some hairy-legged, ugly man. Glory to God. God noticed one day. I'm just getting started. Hang on. God noticed one day that man was not complete. The animals all had each other. The plants had each other. But man did not have anybody for himself. God said, Adam, it's not good that you be alone. I will make you and help meet. I want you to notice the word help meet. It doesn't say help mate. The word meet there is the word fitting, suitable. Nothing on earth was suitable for Adam to give him companionship. Not a dog, especially not a cat. Not any animal, not any plant. It wasn't a tree. He didn't go hug a tree and feel all better. Now, my wife hugs a bush and feels better, but she's not hugging a tree, all right? The plants and the animals were not going to work as companionship. He said, I will give you something that will be suitable. It will be fittable for you. By the way, this also means that there are only two sexes by creation. Let me say that again. By creation, there are only two genders, male and female. This alphabet soup, rainbow people need to listen to God and not themselves. God made it that there was one man for one woman and one woman for one man. That was his plan. It's not like the sodomites of today. Say, preacher, how come you don't call them the other names? Because God uses the word sodomite, and they hate that more than anything. Because men and women were distinctly different, he also made it to where they had separate responsibilities in life. Now listen to me. It doesn't mean that one was superior or more important than the other. You see, it means you have separate responsibilities. Women were to bear children, care for the house, and pick up after her husband and train him. Everybody doing all right? He put her in charge of children. Just because he's in a bigger body doesn't mean he's any different. Once a man, twice a child. Amen? The only thing different is the size and the cost of his toys. So women were to bear children, care for the home, guide the home, 1 Timothy says, and she had different responsibilities than the man. But wait a minute, God told the man, I want you to be the provider and the protector. He said, I want you to earn the living, I want you to provide for your family, but you're also to protect your family. Yes. Now, hang on. Everybody doing all right? I love you. Here it comes. Man was to be the head of the home. But that doesn't make him superior. It makes him responsible. It's not a matter of, bless God, I'm the man, you listen to me. If you've got to beat your chest like that, you're not much of a man. God said, your job is your responsibility to your family. Men, we're going to face God for how responsible we are for our families. Listen to this. Not responsible for how they turn out. responsible for how we provided and protected. You're looking at an outcome. God's looking at an income. How did you provide? How did you protect? That's what God's interested in. He'll judge your family by how they lived according to His word. But our job is to provide. Our job is to protect. Everybody doing okay? Someone had to lead. Anything with more than one head's a monster. But just because you're the head, it doesn't mean you're the dictator. You see, God made man first. He said, because I made you first, I'll have you be the head of the family. I'll have you be the responsible one. But watch this. It doesn't make you superior. I'm just going to split your duties because there's going to be more happen, and you ain't going to want to change diapers and cook the food. Now, God then gives us an entire Bible full of principles by which we find out what our responsibilities are, how to perform those responsibilities are if you're a man, and how a woman's supposed to perform her duties as a wife and a mom. Did you know the Bible's full of principles about bosses and employees? You know that the Bible can show you how you could be a better employee or a better boss? God gives us everything to know on how best to live. God said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do you know why most people have troubles in life? Because they've not read the book of life. They're not living what God told us in that book. Now, let's see what God has to say here. Are you ready? Number one, men and women are different, so they should look different.
That's right.
Say, preacher, you're going there? Yep, hang on. This gender neutral, cross gender confused world of today is humanistic and satanically influenced. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God didn't make somebody to decide what they wanted to be. Why is it that we can have no problem going out to the farm and saying, okay, that's a cow, that's a bull. That's a billy goat, that's a nanny goat. That's a hen, that's a rooster. But people who are supposed to have dominion over the earth, who are supposed to be the smartest of all creatures, can't figure out what they are. They don't even know what bathroom to go into. Well, bless God, my daddy's sitting back there, and about 52, 53 years ago, he taught me which bathroom to go into. Everybody doing all right? You know, God made man and women differently. Did you know that God made man from the dust of the ground? God made woman from Adam's side.
That's right.
That means every fiber of every woman is different than every man. By the way, biologically, that is true.
Yes.
Their cells are made up differently. Men, they're not as tough as you are. They're not made out of dirt. They're made from you. Everybody doing okay? Quit expecting your wife to be in a man. Quit expecting her to have the emotions of a man. Quit expecting her to have the toughness of a man. God didn't make her to have your responsibility. He made her to complete you, to fit you, and to soften you up because you're so hard-headed. By the way, God made man and woman differently, and He wants us to look differently. Did you know you can tell a male cardinal from a female cardinal? Did you know you can tell virtually every gender of every animal just by how they look? Two lions, it's very obvious. You see, God made it to where you looked at it and said, that's a bull, that's a cow. So many things I want to say right there, but I'm not going to. Let me read a verse to you. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, For all that do so are an abomination to the Lord thy God. Now, those aren't my words. Those are God's words. That means this. Did you know that men are not supposed to wear women's clothing?
Yes.
Fellas, if I got one of my wife's dresses and put it on this morning and came out here in high heel shoes, there would have been blood dripping out the front door this morning. Before any of you but Brother Mike got here. Because he'd have taken care of business before he left. And I'd want him to. Amen?
Amen?
Can I tell you something? You say, preacher, I wouldn't come back if that's what you did. Then why is it acceptable for women to wear men's clothing? God said that we ought to be able by our clothing, by first appearance, to be able to tell the difference between a man and a woman. You'd get mad at me for dressing like a woman. God says I don't want the woman to dress like a man, nor do I want a man to dress like a woman. Now you decide what that is. God tells us in his book. I'm not going much farther with it, but I will tell you this. God said even our clothing, we ought to be able to tell each other apart.
Yes, sir.
Do you all play the game that my wife and I do too? He, she, or it?
Yes.
You can't tell by how they dress, how they look. Can't tell by even sometimes how they walk. Yeah, it's a shame that we live in a society. Believe it or not, there are stores talking about getting rid of departments and having all the clothing just in general. There won't be a girls' department or a boys' department or a men's department or a ladies' department. Everybody's going to have to pick from the same shelf. That's wrong according to God. Everybody doing all right? I love you. God gave us different bodies. God gave us different responsibilities. If God gave you a different body and God gives you a different responsibility, doesn't that mean you should dress differently? Brother Mike, you worked construction. I work as a preacher. These are my work clothes. If I showed up to the workplace doing construction work like this, that wouldn't be quite right. Wrong responsibility. Brother Juan and I were out soul winning this week. We went out a country road. We pulled up to a farmhouse. And the farmer was pulling up the lane as we pulled down the lane towards him. He gets out of the car and said, "Watch this, Brother Juan." Had a gospel track in my hand, Brother Mike. And I said, "Well, it's obvious I'm not the manure salesman." That old farmer, he just looked at me. He's thinking, "Who's this guy in a suit at the farm?" And when I told him who I was, he reached that big old paw out and shook my hand and said, "Pastor, good to see you." He said, "I knew you weren't a farmer." I said, "What gave it away?" He said, "You really got to ask?" I said, "No, he didn't know what I was going to preach today." I asked for that very reason. Now, if I came out in a pair of jeans or Carhartts and a flannel shirt or whatever, he'd say, "He's dressing like he's going out to the country to work." Yeah. Say why? You can tell by what a person wears. If a lady walked into our auditorium this morning in a white dress with a white hat on, you know, kind of little hat, y'all know she would be a nurse. Say why? By the way she's dressed. God said we are to be known. We have different jobs, different responsibilities. We have different bodies. God did not make man's body like woman's body. Thank God. That means there are different things that need covered in a lady that don't necessarily aren't as important to a man as it is for her to cover, as it is for him. But God wants us all covered. I won't take time to turn there, but if you go to Genesis chapter 3, when man sinned, first thing he said was, "We're naked." Why? Because man started seeing himself as he was, and they were without clothing. Notice what they made. If you go to Genesis chapter 3, they made aprons from leaves. God made them coats of skin. Did you know an apron doesn't cover what a coat covers? An apron doesn't cover a whole lot, does it? But a coat covers a whole lot. God said, you made aprons, I'll make you coats of skin. Now, I got to hurry here. Listen to this reasoning. It's biblical logic. Only sinful man and Satan can cause a person enough confusion to wonder what they are. God is not the author of, say it with me, confusion. So if God is not the author of confusion, who is? Satan. Man. If God did not create the confusion of the sexes, then Satan has influenced man to be confused about which bathroom to use. Now, listen to this statement. Man worships his own mind and his own intellect to the point where he says, my body is wrong, but my mind is right. No, God says your body's right. You just need to get your mind to match. Well, I was a woman born in a man's body. No, you weren't. Hate to disappoint you. It is Satan that influences that kind of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Satan is. And our world is so confused today, we've been listening to the devil and not the truth of the Word of God. Okay, let's go a little farther. Did you know that God wants man's hair to be different than woman's hair? 1 Corinthians 11:14. Doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is her glory for her hair is her covering. Did you know that we ought to be able to look at a man's hair and say, that's a man, and look at a lady and her hair and say, that's a lady? Well, there's only so many things on your head you can cover. Am I right? You can cover your ears. You can cover your neck, you can cover your eyes and your nose and your mouth. Well, if you cover your eyes, you're not going to be able to see. But that means a man's ears and a man's neck ought to be uncovered. Say, well, Jesus had long hair, only if you look at the Catholic pictures. Isn't it amazing? Just 2 weeks ago, they uncovered another Roman ruler who was ruling during the day of Jesus. Have you ever looked at the statues of the time of Jesus? None of the rulers had long hair. He was under the Roman Empire. It was not culturally acceptable for men to have long hair. By the way, same thing with the Greek Empire before. You go back as far as you want. It wasn't until later that the perversion of men having long hair was accepted by society. I hate to tell you something. God said, doth not nature itself teach you? It's a shame for a man to have long hair. Fellas, keep your hair cut. Some of you be glad to have any too cut. But we ought to have our hair cut. Men ought to have short hair. Ladies ought to have longer hair. I'm not talking about that a woman never is supposed to cut her hair and supposed to be down to her feet the whole time. But it ought to be obvious that you have longer hair than a man. Does that make sense to everybody? That's what God said. Ladies, I'm just going to say it. It's summertime. If God wants your head covered, don't you think he'd want the rest of you covered too? It's pretty bad when men got to look up at the sky because women are walking around with less than underwear on. God made certain parts of the body not to be seen by anybody but your husband in private. If that's the case, keep it covered. I love you. Say, well, nobody here's dressed like that today. Good, that's why I'm preaching it today. Just because you dig a hole, put some sand around it, and fill the hole with water, and call it a swimming hole, doesn't make it right to run around in your underwear. There are people that wear less than they would wear for underwear and call it a swimsuit. What right does that make it? We could go through the book of Deuteronomy, and God said a man shouldn't look on the nakedness of his daughter, of his sister. We ought to be careful how we dress even in our own homes. Maybe, okay. My son and daughter-in-law, Brother Josh and his precious wife, they went through all the classes for getting certified to adopt and to foster children. In those classes, they teach that the desire between sexes starts from an infant, from a child nursing from its mother, because it's learning that. That's perverted. But may I say something? Sometimes we create wrong things with boys and girls in our own home. I don't think girls ought to be running around the house uncovered. I don't think boys ought to be running around the house uncovered. My daughter's been married for over a year now. She's 23, 24, 26, 30, something like that. He'll be 30, so I know she's younger than him. Now, wait a minute. From the time my daughter was out of diapers, as her dad, I've not seen her thighs. You say, why? Because that's the way God wanted it. Not my job. Everybody doing okay? By the way, that's why this morning I got a text from her and she said, Dad, I love you. And I wanted to copy it and send it to her husband. She said, thanks for being my first love. I said, there was a time where I was to be your only love, but I understand that now. We joked about it. Can I tell you something? I'm glad around our house it wasn't a naked free-for-all. So, God made men and women different. We should look different, number one. Number two, men, as leaders, we need to lead in love. Let me say that again. Men, as the leaders, as the head, we ought to lead in love. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm going to ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud. How much is a man supposed to love his wife? As much as he loves God? No. God didn't say, love your wife as much as you love God. He said you are to love your wife as much as God loves you. I am not to love my wife only as much as I love God. I am to love her as much as he loves me. I'm to love my children as much as God loves me as his child. Is that not what it said? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Is Jesus not God? So if he's God, we are to love as God loves us, not as we love him. See, my love for him is tainted by sin. His love for me is perfect. I am to love that little lady right there that just sang a little while ago as much as God loves me. Not as much as I love him because I fail him, but I am not to fail her. I am to love her as God loves me. By the way, a lady who has a man that loves her the way God does will have no problem submitting to her. That word submission is not a bad word. It does not mean subservient and slave. Everybody look at me for a second. Did you know we have a lot of strong ladies around here? That's not a bad thing. Strong ladies don't bother me. Did you know a strong lady just needs a strong man and she'll follow with no trouble? Now, wait a minute. If he's a weak leader, look out. She's going to have trouble holding that tongue. By the way, if a man would step up, she wouldn't have to. You said it, preacher. Uh-huh. I never struggle with strong ladies. I don't feel challenged and threatened. Now, I happen to know if you love them the right way and you're strong and you love them, they have no problem following. I had a preacher recently, he called me and said, "Preacher, how do I deal with this? This woman is just so strong." I said, "Then it's time for you to get tough." I said, "Quit being so soft." Okay, that wasn't the answer I was expecting. I said, "Well, I said, if you'd be strong enough, she wouldn't have to step up." "Okay, preacher, I'm going to call you when the fight's over." About an hour later, he called me back. He said, "Preacher, it worked just like you said." He said, "As soon as I stepped up, she stepped back." I said, "That's the way it's supposed to be. She just needed to know somebody was going to step up. She's not used to somebody stepping up, so she stepped up for you before you. Just get a little quicker to step." He said, "That's amazing." He was a young pastor. He just needed a little guidance. And I didn't teach him to be rude. I didn't teach him to be nasty. Stepping up doesn't mean you step on somebody. If you have to step on somebody to step up, you're not loving the way God does. God never came down and forced his way on anybody. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. Amen. Matter of fact, God says you're supposed to love your wife as you love your own body. Look at verse 28. "So ought men to love their wives even as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Maybe I ought to turn my back so you don't think I'm shooting at you. If I came to your house and you showed me all your toys, how do they compare to her toys? Have you spent more on you than on her? Amen, preacher. Do you give her equal money when it comes to your desires? "Well, I went out and got my new bow. I'm working on getting my old one sold. And when I do," I already told my wife the other day, "I'm handing her the wad of money that I get from my bow. And that's her money to play with." She said, "Well, I don't want it." I said, "I don't care. There's only one stipulation. You can't spend it on anybody but yourself. I don't care if you spend it a dollar at a time or you spend it all at once. But you can't spend it on anybody but yourself." "Say why?" "I've had it to play with all these years. Time for her to play with it." Is that not fair? Is that not what God says here? Husbands, love your wives even as you love your own body. Everybody doing okay? I'm not super Christian. I'm just trying to obey. Man, it's getting quiet in here. God doesn't force his way on anybody. You know, God teaches us. God's patient. God lets us choose what we're going to obey and whether we disobey. And when we disobey, he whacks us upside the head and says, "Get back in line." But he does it in a kind way. He'll not do it in front of everybody. You say, "Well, he's doing it now in church, yeah, but nobody else is looking at you but me." We ought to learn to lead in love, man. Can I tell you something? The words "I love you" are very powerful. Can I tell you something? The words "I love you" can break the hardest heart. Miss Wally's on vacation. Brother Fred was the hard head. That man, some of you remember when Fred first came to church years ago. You talk about a crusty old mountain man. And I'm not being unkind, it's just a fact. I remember the first time I looked at him and said, "Fred, I love you." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I can't say that." I said, "You don't have to. I just did." He said, "No man's ever told me that before." I said, well, one just did. He didn't know how to respond. I remember the first day after he got saved, I said, Fred, I love you. And he looked at me and he said, preacher, I love you. That's a humbling statement. That was hard for him to say. But boy, I watched him learn to love God and watched him drag an oxygen bottle going door to door soul winning. Say, how's that work? Those words, I love you, penetrate deep. I love my daddy. He and I talk every day. We see each other most days. My dad and myself, I promise you, there's not been a day that before we're done talking, or when we leave each other's presence, we don't say, I love you. Not a time. My dad's a tough guy. One of the toughest men I've ever met in my life is my dad. Not mean and hard, I mean just flat out tough, manly. Yeah, I watched my dad for the 54 years I was alive. He didn't leave my mom's presence without saying, love you, George. He called her George. There was not a day. I don't think my dad went out to mow the grass or to go to the basement and work without him saying, love you. I don't think I ever saw my parents leave each other's presence without saying those words. I don't think so. Now, sometimes they didn't feel like saying those words to each other, but they did. You see, I love you penetrates deep. Men, as leaders, we need to learn to lead in love. Lead your children with love. Lead your grown children with love. Ruth Ann's with her folks this week and helping down there. And early this morning, I had texted her and she texted me back and she said, Dad, I'm so glad God gave me two dads. And I love you. I sat at my desk and wept. Say, why? Those words are powerful. Men, we ought to lead in love. I'm glad around here our men saying I love you to each other is not weird. Yes. By the way, it's not weird. It's the way it ought to be. Now, if you walk up and say, I need a hug, that's weird. If you say, let's go to the bathroom, that's weird. All right? Women can go in herds, we go by ourselves. I love you, but I ain't asking you to go to the bathroom with me, all right? Not doing it. But those words ought not be foreign words from the lips of the men of Grace Baptist Church. I love you. Number three, and I'll finish, and you'll be glad. Have you noticed that throughout Ephesians chapter 5, God uses the picture of husbands and wives as an illustration of Christ and the church? Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Look at verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. Look at verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Look at verse 32. This is a great mystery. What's the great mystery? Husbands and wives. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Do you know that God only gave 3 verses to ladies, but he gave 9 verses to men? Say why? Because we're slow. Takes us more verses to get it. No, there's more responsibility. The church is as important to God as salvation. Everybody listen to this statement. Do you know the very same blood that Jesus shed to save your sorry, sinful spirit is the same blood he shed to give us the church? In God's view, the church is as important as salvation. I did not say you had to have the church for salvation. But the price for the church was the same price as salvation. We ought to make church a higher priority in our marriage. You show me a marriage that's in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church, I'll show you a marriage that has a chance of making it, but if you don't show up or you only show up once a week, you're going to have a tougher time in your marriage. I didn't say it's impossible, but it'll be tougher. Everybody doing all right? Marriage is a picture of the relationship between Jesus and the church. And the church and Jesus. Is that not what 1 John 4:7-8 is all about? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That means several things. One, we ought not love unsaved things and unsaved people as much because they can't love us like God loves us. I didn't say don't love them, but I don't believe anybody ought to date somebody that's not saved. I didn't say don't get married. I said don't date. If you don't date, you won't get married to somebody you shouldn't be married to. It's that simple. We ought not love the things of the world for the love of the flesh. Say why? Because it's at enmity with God. It's an enemy of God. Let me ask you a question. How's your marriage with Jesus in the church? Is it just a string of one-night stands? Or have you joined yourself to it? Bless God, June 24th, 1989, standing at the Lewis Avenue Baptist Church in Temperance, Michigan, which is right across the line from Toledo, Ohio. Dr. Les Hobbins, who's about 4'10". I'm not kidding. My wife was taller than he is. Not by much. Dr. Hobbins stood there and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And did our wedding. That was 32 years ago. We joined as husband and wife that day. I've not been out looking for another. Just figured I did it right the first time. Why look around? Why shop around? When you got the best, no need to go shopping. Amen? My dad told me this week he thinks he's going to have to buy a new skill saw, Brother Mike. Thing's only 60 years old. The old stainless steel one. He can't even get blades. He can't even buy blades for it anymore. He's replaced everything in that thing. And finally, after 60 years, he said, I think I finally got my money's worth out of it. He was working 10, 15 years ago somewhere, and a guy said, man, where'd you get that thing? I haven't seen one of those except an antique store. He said, what do you mean antique? He said, I bought it new. Now, wait a minute. Our marriage should reflect, by the way, your marriage will reflect your walk with God. You probably wouldn't yell at your spouse if you were in the right relationship with God. You might not, by the way, would you talk to God the way you talk to your spouse? Hang on. Would you handle your finances with God the way you do with your spouse? Maybe we ought to look at our marriage in a little more spiritual light. I'm not angry. I'm happy. I couldn't wait to get married. Guess what? I can't wait to stay married. We've only been married 32 years. We're the babies in the family. Mom and Dad were married just a couple months shy of 59 years. My mom's mom and dad were married over 40 years until Grandpa passed away, and she was a widow for almost 40 years. 37, 38 years. My dad's parents, Grandma and Grandpa Bush, were married 69, 70 years. Close to that. Yeah, 67, something like that. I've got three aunts and uncles that are married over 50 years. Can I tell you something? We're just the newlyweds still. I'm still learning stage. Amen? It's fun. Let me ask you a question. How's your marriage relationship in comparison to church? How much in love with the church are you? And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about serving God and the things of God here at church. I think just as we decided to be married to one another 32 years ago, I think people ought to marry themselves to a church and join up. Yes. Ought not shack up. I think we ought to join, be a part of it. Not because the church needs your membership, you need it so that you can say, I'm married. Everybody doing okay? A better marriage will involve a better church life because we learn what God wants for us while we're at church. We serve and we love while we're here and learn how to do it better and go back into our homes and do it with our families the right way. We learn to be better employees if we're preaching the right way. We learn to be better bosses if we preach the right way. I've got to finish. This church is here for everybody. I don't care how you dress. That's between you and God. But I do believe men ought to dress like men and women ought to dress like women. I'm not going to quit preaching it, whether you live it or not. I'm not mad at you. I haven't gone into specifics. You say, well, preacher, were you talking about me? Probably. I don't know. But may I say this? I'm responsible, my responsibility, not just as a man, but my responsibility as a pastor is to tell you what God said and try to help you become more of what he wants you to become. It's that simple. You say, well, you don't do everything exactly the way you preach. I'm not accountable to only preach that which I live. You'd have pretty rough Christian life if I could only preach what I've always lived. True. No nail prints. I'm not perfect. A lot of times I'm standing up here preaching to me. But may I say something? God wants me to preach with eternity in view for your life. Realize there's more to life than just what's here. There's a long eternity out there. And these truths, by the way, I'm not going to change or ignore God's truth for anyone. I want to lift us up to the truth, not bring the truth down to where man is. Churches today are getting rid of the truth so they could have a big crowd. Let's build a church based on what man likes. No, how about we give God a good Father's Day and give him a church that he likes? It's that simple. I'll love you no matter what. God loves you no matter what. Whether you change or not is between you and your God, not between you and I. There's not a requirement here at church, just so you know. But I'm not going to change what God said either. I got to tell you what the truth is. If I don't tell you what the truth is, who's gonna? So, how about we go up to where he is and live where he is versus us trying to bring him down to where we want to live? God said, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. God made us different. He made us to look different, dress different, have different hair. He made us to love and lead with love. But God also did that as an example of Christ in the church. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder who would say, "Preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul?" Many, 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 many hands. Most hands were up. You may put them down. I don't know what the need was. I just know I'm supposed to preach it. Maybe it is you've been saved and never baptized. You ought to obey him. Maybe you've been saved and baptized by immersion. You'd like to join the church. Well, join up. Let's have a wedding day. Amen. Join the church. It's easy. Maybe it is you just need to kneel at an altar and get your relationship right with your God today.